out again through the back, dumped roadside, stripped of identification. You wondered to yourself, what kind of an animal could leave a child laying roadside like that?
Tammy Alexander was previously known as Callie Doe. She was found in Caledonia, New York on November 10th, 1979. She had been shot twice, like the audio stated. The investigators felt the murder occurred the previous night, and then she was dumped in the field right after. She would not be identified until 2015. Let's go back to the day she was found.
We're in right now. It was in corn. It was in the fall, of course. And we're preparing to come down here and start harvesting. None of this had been touched yet. We came down, and we're in the pickup coming down. It's Route 20 out here. And we were on our way down and going down to the local coffee shop to have a cup of coffee. And on the way down, I noticed this red object out here in the field. And I said to my father, I said, I believe there's somebody out there in the field laying down. So we pulled down, turned around, came back, pulled out, came out, walked through the corn, and sure enough, there was the body of Jane Doe at that time, laying face down. My father first, you know, we were on our way in, he says, oh, it's probably something left over from Halloween, somebody's scarecrow or something. As we got closer and looked, we both realized, wow, this is not a scarecrow. So we immediately turned around, walked back out, went down to the diner, get a cup of coffee, notified authorities, and they got the coffee in front of us, and we had three sheriffs waiting for us down there, and we came back down, and that's when we told them what we had found. And
there were no sounds of sexual assault, and she was fully clothed. The clothes were described as a red nylon man's windbreaker coat with black stripes down the arm. She had on a multicolored plaid button-up shirt with tan pants on. She also wore blue knee socks, white bra, and blue panties. She had on a necklace, and she had two keychains connected to her belt loop. The autopsy would show she had obviously been shot in the head while next to the road and was then dragged out in the cornfield, where it's believed she was shot again in the back and left for dead. Sadly, heavy rain would wash away potential forensic evidence. At the time, Tammy was believed to have been between 13 and 19 years old, and she would end up being 16 years old once she was identified. She was 5'3", weighed around 120 pounds. She had brown eyes and wavy light brown shoulder-length hair that had been frosted in the front, but seemed to be roughly a few months before her murder, and her toenails were painted as well. She had tan lines from either a top or a bikini, which suggested she was not from New York area. You know, this is back in the 70s, tanning beds were very uncommon back then, and New York, you know, isn't known for the warm weather at that time of year, you know, her body was found. And several hours before she was murdered, she had eaten sweet corn, potatoes, and canned ham. This is important because it was reported by a waitress that she had seen her eating with a man at a diner, and the man was reported to be white, between 5'8", 5'9", around 25, 30 years old, and he wore black rimmed glasses. They don't really say nothing about his build, so I just kind of wonder if he was just an average build, like weight-wise. When the waitress was questioned about what Tammy ordered, she was able to confirm the food that was found in Tammy's stomach. And the waitress also mentioned she had seemed happy and not in any danger with the man. So kind of like she knew it, like maybe not like a dating type situation, but she at least knew the man. The investigators felt the weapon was a .38 caliber handgun. They found a shell casing under her body, but were not able to match it to a specific gun. And many efforts would be made to identify her, and nothing would be found of who she was until 2015, when she would be identified, like I stated earlier. But a friend of Tammy's had posted online looking for her, since she hadn't seen her since their high school days, and a man by the name of Carl Koppelman, not sure if I pronounced that right, would see the post and recognize the girl in the photo as Callie Doe. Carl had done like sketches of Tammy and had spent years researching her case. My understanding, like, he was laid off or something, but he like would render stuff, like change, you know, the nose, hair, and all that, and would post those pictures and stuff. But he would send it off to the sheriff's office, and they would match Tammy's DNA with her half-sister. Tammy's half-sister had said they had filed a missing report back then, like, you know, her mom and stuff, but no record of that file was created, according to the police. One reason, though, could be because she was known to have run away a few times. And one of the times I read was with a friend, which I'm assuming the friend that was looking for her. and posted online. But she, her friend said that they traveled to California with some truckers. And the friend's mother would pay airline tickets to bring them back because it was stated that Tammy's mother wouldn't pay for Tammy's ticket and basically just said, leave her there. But according to Tammy's half-sister, she believed Tammy had run away to live a better life because her mother was addicted to pills and would go into a rage fit quite often. And from what I read, Tammy's half-sister, I think she lived with their grandmother at the time. And I guess, like, you know, past few years, probably, you know, because of their mother. But even though Tammy was only 16 years old at the time, she had worked at a truck stop. And from what I gather, it was owned by her mother and stepdad. She worked there as a waitress, and this, like I said, was back in the 70s, not like today, so it's possible she could have very well, you know, take care of herself on her own. I've read she was last seen back in early 1979, and I believe this is a report with the friend, because I also read she was last seen after her 16th birthday with her family, which was on November 2nd. So this would be a week before she was found murdered. I read that her mother had moved to another area not too long after she had disappeared. She either didn't care that Tammy left or assumed she was gone to a different life. Like, I don't know. But they said, like, I don't know if she was close to retirement or something, but they basically moved somewhere else in Florida. Well, that's where Tammy was. I can't remember if I mentioned that earlier, but Tammy actually lived in Florida. So that means basically traveled from Florida up to New York with somebody. One odd report mentioned was Tammy seemed to have ties with a former prison ministry in Georgia. It helped with working with individuals on probation and parole. And from what I gather, she had written letters to her boyfriend from there. And the only problem is nothing was able to be traced to this location because a couple died and their son didn't match the description of the man from what I have read. And I guess he passed away as well. So it's kind of hard to figure out, you know, what all happened there. And see, you know, like I said, what if she was there for a reason? Was she seeing somebody there or what? See, I'll talk about some suspects now here. And one of them was the famous Henry Lee Lucas. I mentioned him and I know of at least one other episode. He confessed to the murder of Tammy, just like he confessed to basically everything else. But I kind of go with he most likely lied about it. Just like he lied about, you know, pretty much every other murder. Because what I think of the other episode, I said like 3,000 murders that he confessed to. Like I said, he was just an idiot. Another suspect I read was serial killer Chris Wilder. One interesting aspect is he killed one of his victims with a 38 caliber handgun near Rochester, New York. And he was known to leave the victims in fields and always never really made an effort to hide them. And I read he would strip his victims of their IDs after he killed them. And Tammy did look like some of his other victims, and he had been arrested in Australia for raping two 15-year-old girls in 1982. So he kind of had the history, you know, for this. And one thing I look at is eight of the victims that had been connected to him all happened in a six-week time frame in 1984. So this would be 7 years after the fact, right? 7 years after the fact. Or no, 5 years after the fact, my bad. 5 years. Okay, so you're looking at she died 79, most of his murders in 84. And he did not drive a station wagon or wore glasses, so he didn't match the description of the man last seen with Tammy at the diner. The thing with the station wagon, like, I read some comments that the waitress didn't really see what they were driving. And then, you know, some say it was a station wagon with the wood panels on the door. Some people suggest that a trucker did it, and, you know, if the waitress did actually see a station wagon, then, you know, they're driving a station wagon, not a tractor and trailer. So, another name I read was Tim Vafidez. I'm pretty sure I pronounced that wrong. He was a truck driver, and he was known as the Vampire Trucker. So to me, it doesn't fit this case at all, and the age I can only find on him, I don't know if it was like updated to 2019 age, but it had him listed as 56. So if that's the case, that would put him around 17, roughly, when Tammy was murdered. But I didn't really read into a lot of him because, like, he would, like, file, like, I don't know, mostly vampire-like stuff he would, like, do to people, I guess. Like, something about with, like, teeth and stuff. But one thing I forgot to mention about Chris Wilder, he was killed in 84 as well. He something about pulling out a gun and two gunshots, and he ended up getting, I think, both of them, if I remember correctly what I read. But, you know, whoever did kill Tammy seemed to have done it with rage, because, you know, the gunshot to the head should have killed her. If it didn't, then I'm sure she probably would have died eventually, because the way everybody's talked about it is basically point blank, right to the, you know, right to the face or forehead. So, you know, why shoot her in the back? In the end, like I said, it doesn't matter, because anything she would have done, she didn't deserve to be shot and left out in the field. And I hope one day justice will be served to her.
I thought of you today and decided to write you a few lines. Many years have passed since I saw you last. I see you as if it were yesterday. Your big smile. You had one hand on your hip and that unmistakable southern twang when you talked. You were so ready for adventure and all that life had to offer. I know we had some really great adventures that I will never forget. And we know now that you are on a heavenly adventure. And although many seek to know why you left here so soon, I believe you're resting in good hands, in God's hands. And I know that if God chooses to, he will bring to light all things hidden to us now. Tammy, you did make a difference in this world and in my life. I just wanted you to know that. You are a kind and loving soul, truly worthy of remembering. I know you're at rest now, and that someday I will see you again. Best friends always, Laurel.